Welcome to the Property Management Mastermind Show with your host, Brad Larson. Brad owns one of the fastest growing property management companies in San Antonio, Texas. This podcast is for property managers by property managers. You'll hear from industry leading professionals on best practices, new ideas, success stories, and lessons learned. This is your opportunity to learn about the latest industry buzz surrounding property management, as well as tips and strategies to improve your business. Now here's your host, Brad Larson.
This episode of the Property Management Mastermind Show is sponsored by Lead Simple and 4.5. They have teamed up to come up with one of the best conferences for anyone in or around the property management industry to attend. It's called the PM Grow Summit. This conference is laser focused on growth strategies and thought leaders from around the country. Now, I personally attended their PM Grow Summit last year and was truly impressed with the format, the venue, the quality speakers, and the level of attendance. And that was just their first year putting it on. This year's PM Grow Summit will be held in San Diego in early 2018, and it's shaping up to look like another fantastic event you will not want to miss. I've already booked my spot for the conference, and I would encourage listeners to do the same. You can learn more by going to pmgrowsummit.com. As an additional incentive, you can enter in the promo code BRAD, B-R-A-D, to get a $100 discount when booking your ticket. If you ever need an excuse to go to San Diego and stay at one of the historic downtown hotels, this is your chance. Do not miss this event. Again, go to pmgrowsummit.com and enter in the promo code BRAD for a $100 discount on admission. Hello, everyone. In today's episode, we have Greg Deering in studio. He's a regional vice president for NARPM in the Midwestern region, which I hopefully got that term right. He is a property management company owner out of the Austin area, North Austin, Round Rock area to be exact. And he's in studio today, and we're going to talk about some of the leadership qualities NARPM is looking for, the track of leadership, how to basically become affiliated with the leadership of NARPM, and some of the benefits that can come out of that. And it's a real good conversation with Greg. We talk about those types of leadership roles, the designations, the CRMC. And it's just a good conversation to hear more about the inner workings of the NARPM organization. So let's have a listen. And hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Property Management Mastermind Show. And today I have Greg Deering, a good friend of mine, coming down for a quick visit. And he's in studio today. So how are you doing today, Greg?
I'm doing terrific, Brad. Thank you.
Appreciate you coming on the show and want to talk a few things about your company and NARPM in particular, and we'll get into kind of why. A lot of good organizations that are floating around, and NARPM is one of the better ones that you can get into as far as the industry organization. And so some of the things that we want to touch on is we got to give folks your background a little bit and kind of let them know who you are, what you do. And this will give us a kind of a parameters to talk more about some of the stuff we want to touch on. So go ahead and give me a few minutes of your time here.
Great. Thanks, Brad. Appreciate this opportunity. Greg Deering, owner and broker of GDAA Property Management. We're in North Austin, the Round Rock area. So we cover the North Austin area, and we've been in business almost 11 years now. Prior to that, I was exclusively into the sales market or sales industry with real estate sales industry, and was doing that for 9 years before I switched over to full-time property management. Prior to that, I was a senior manager of Federal Express and was with that company for 13 years, which was a great experience. We currently manage approximately 600 single family and duplex properties in the Austin metro area, and we're looking to expand.
Yeah, one of the reasons I brought you on the show is your experience has been a long time coming. You have double the experience of me, and you've been in business quite a while. You've seen the market kind of grow up through different trends, through different things. And this gives us some perspective to talk about your company, what we do, and then also why I'm big part of what I wanted you to bring on is your leadership experience now with NARPM. And we'll get into that as we go, but a couple of things that we want to talk about. The root of this show, just so everybody knows out there, is you and I have been talking for years on the phone.
Yes.
Like we go to these conferences and the Good Idea Fairy is just blowing up my head and I got to get Greg on the phone and we got to talk about certain things. And you've given me a bunch of good ideas and hopefully I've given you just a few in return. Yeah. Some of the things that we always talk about on those calls is what are your biggest challenges right now? So what do you think your biggest challenges are up there where you are?
Right now, our number one biggest challenge, we have probably four or five different challenges, but the number one is staffing. Mm-hmm. It's very hard to find talent in our market right now. We're competing against major employers, Dell, Samsung, University of Texas, City of Austin, Travis County, state of Texas, and on and on and on.
You told me the other day, Buc-ee's was hiring.
Yes.
And they're like $16 an hour or something crazy.
Yeah, my daughter, who has a friend who's cutting fudge in a Buc-ee's truck stop, is making $16 an hour. Wow. And on the advertisement, it says, after 90 days, you have 3 weeks vacation. You can cash it, roll it over, or use it. And that is in their marketing campaign. So there's a tremendous labor shortage in our area right now.
That makes it tough to compete for anything decent.
Yes.
That means you got to pay out a high dollar amount for any salaries. That means you got to pay out a high dollar amount for any hourly employees. Just that is a challenge.
Yes.
And that's no easy way around it. I don't have a solution for you other than get out of Austin.
Yeah, that's exactly. Well, it's interesting because a lot of the folks that are on our team commute from outside of Austin.
I would assume so. Yeah. It's so expensive to probably live in that area sometimes.
Yes.
Yeah, they come in from the outside.
That's right.
So we've talked a lot about growing and growth. What were your plans for growth this year?
We had an unusual tack this year. We started off with a pretty aggressive growth plan and then rapidly came to the conclusion that we needed to slow that down.
Okay.
That we wanted to work on our systems, our foundation, and take that to a higher level. So for the first 6 months of the year, we have been looking at all of our systems, all of our models of everything we're doing and seeing if it's scalable. We will ramp that back up, the growth pattern back up, the need, the acquisition and growth down the road here. But we wanted to make sure that we could scale this. And we thought we had some areas that would have cracked if we would have taken on too much.
Yeah, a few months ago, you did a big reorganization. Is that correct?
Yes, we did.
Yeah, kind of talk us through that. What you were and what you ended up as.
When we started the business, we started just with two properties. And then we grew over the next 4 or 5 years to about 350, 400 properties. And it was myself doing all the outside work and another individual inside running the operations. And then we'd have, at various times, either a full-time employee who would be there to assist or a part-time employee. But that position was pretty transient. It came and went a lot.
So it's more of a departmental type system or even one person doing everything.
It was pretty bad.
Okay. Yeah. This is where everybody goes through this.
Sure.
You know,
sure.
No one's perfect in this because as you grow, it's like a staircase. You get it once, you're up on the stair, and then it's an uphill climb from the next point and just staircases up. And one of the things I've always talked about, and you've heard me, is we transitioned from one way to another. We went from more of a departmental base of everybody doing nothing and nobody doing everything. And I think you guys had some of that too going on.
Yeah, we did. And there was some extenuating circumstances why we did that. But it was interesting because at one point during the month of July, several years ago, I was doing 30 to 35 move outs myself. And everybody goes, gee whiz. Well, keep in mind, the only staff member I had was still paying owners and processing 30 or 35 move-outs plus the move-in. So it was pretty brutal. And that individual was terrific. She really did a phenomenal job. Our company would not be where it is today without her. What was interesting is as we started the transition, she had a hard time making that transition.
Yeah, yeah.
And we were real pleased that she found somewhere else to go and it worked out well. But we've gone now to 600 properties and we have more departmental specific jobs. Mm-hmm. We have a full-time bookkeeper, full-time maintenance coordinator. We have full-time property managers.
Okay.
And we've gone into that transition and it's been a much more sustainable model. Part of this was, when we started the business, I had no vision of where or how this worked. And so I was just kind of trying to pay the bills, put beans on the table, raise three kids, get mm-hmm. them through college, get them married. So it was the day-to-day stuff. I did not take the time initially, that first 5 years, to step back and say, who am I and where are we going?
Mm-hmm. You kind of get lost in the grind. I had one more move out and one more business development appointment and one more thing here, and I got to take care of this and put out this fire and send this email and call this person back. Next thing you know, the day's gone.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And the next thing I knew, the year was gone.
Yeah.
And then it transitioned like that. So there was a process that we could talk about, but it slowly processed and allowed me to step back. And that's when we started seeing that we had a real company at that point. Also that we had real systems. And we had a projection of where we were going to go and a roadmap to get there.
If you could pull out one lessons learned from that growth period, what would it be? And we could even come back to it if you want.
Yeah, no. What the changing point for me was probably about 4 years ago, maybe five, because I started this process about and mentally a year before I actually did it. I went to I had been involved in NARPM. I was tired of reinventing the wheel over and over again. And especially I started seeing the flaws when I would have a change of employee. They would come in and do something their way. I'm going, we have letters, we have this, but we didn't enforce that too much. So everything that was coming out of the office was not at the quality that we wanted to.
Yeah.
And I looked at the CRMC checklist, and that is what started changing our company. I started getting very intentional. Had no intention of getting the CRMC, but it was such a thorough and good business model to follow. Mm-hmm. And once we started that, our company started changing, and the way I look at it is we put a solid foundation behind us.
That should not be discounted, what you just said. For the listeners, I'm going to back up a little bit and explain what the CRMC is. First, you have to join NARPM.
That's correct.
Then you have to get your RMP designation, your RMP. Right. Say that correct?
Yes.
It's so easy to switch that with RPM, isn't it? We're so used to like an RPMs and your vehicles.
That's right. That's right.
But it's the RMP. And then you get the RMP and it goes to the MPM.
Have to have an MPM.
And then you can go test as a company to get your CRMC.
That's correct. So the residential management professional designation and the master professional designation is individual designations. The CRMC is a certified residential management company. It is a company designation.
Yeah.
So
that checklist in itself, even if nobody has a designation or even wants to get it, right, they can get it off the NARPM website.
Yes.
That checklist is a playbook. And I've said this many times, you know, you and I've talked about this. Mm-hmm. If somebody can just get that checklist and go through it, they're going to be successful.
I agree.
Now, they just have to follow the steps and go through that checklist one by one. So let's talk about this, because I've just recently got my MPM designation. Mm-hmm. And so now we're getting ready to go start developing a system to checklist ourselves into the CRMC designation. So any advice you can offer a fledgling CRMC person wannabe to get that checklist and get it done?
Well, Brad, we've been associated with you for quite some time. I think you're going to have relatively easy foray into this, because you put so many policies, procedures, and your company's run very structured. Had the pleasure of sitting in on one of your office meetings a few minutes ago, and it was pretty impressive the way your staff is on the ball. They know what's expected. They know what to report. They know what's important for both, Larson Properties also, but what's important for the clients, you know, your owner and tenant clients. So you're not going to have a hard time getting a lot of this, but it's going to fine tune some of this.
Yeah. So okay.
What I would recommend is getting it out there, printing it up, the checklist, and on a regular basis, meeting with your employees. Okay. You will find your employees know a lot more about this stuff than we do as far as the day-to-day things, and they can have tremendous suggestions on implementing and putting these policies into place. Mm-hmm. And it's just break it down. Now, it took me a year. This and most companies it does, they start on, and it can take anywhere from a year to 2 years to to go through this, depending on how much you want to put in and how much resources you have with the size of your company, and depending on what time of year, obviously in the summer months is a little more challenging than others. You can delegate this out and have them report back. It is a huge, and as you said, even if you don't get it, it is a huge learning experience for your entire staff.
Talk to me about the auditing system. How does that work? An auditor comes in?
Yes. Once you've submitted your packet, an auditor is brought in, and they're usually, ours was flown in from another city, and they come out for anywhere from a day to 2 days. They go through the checklist. They interview your employees. They talk to your employees, and it's not tough. But they want to make sure what you put down on paper is what the employees really believe, and that's what goes on here. They will go out and walk several of your properties, vacant properties.
Okay.
Yes,
wow. I didn't know that.
They want to see that they're habitable. That, for instance, there's smoke detectors, there's locks that we, as in, you know, fellow Texans, know we have to have here. We have pretty strict lock guidelines. Mm-hmm. That they're up to code. That even the point of are there locks on the windows?
Oh, you know, wow. Okay.
That's checked.
Yeah.
So if you have satellite offices, they have to attend to those satellite offices, visit those satellite offices, and they'll visit employees there. Mm-hmm. But it's a pretty in-depth audit, but most of it is done prior to them getting there by looking at your policies, procedures, mm-hmm. your letters, your forms, and system, down to who does the mail every day.
Wow.
It is top to bottom. Okay. So it could be from the death of a tenant to who's in charge of the mail on a daily basis.
Yeah, looking through that list, I remember one thing top of my head stands out is making sure you have security devices just for your applications.
Oh, yes.
You know, they have to be under lock and key. Yes. And then there's key control methods in there.
Yes.
And a lot of us don't think about that stuff day to day because it's in your office and your office is locked. Okay. But it's got to go deeper into that.
Yes.
That's really impressive stuff. And we could talk a lot about the CRMC, but the fact you mentioned it here is one of the lessons learned, and tying it into your business really means a lot. So what are some of the most recent innovations you've seen out there and you've done in the last 6 months or so?
Well, what we have done is part of this was multi-purposed. One was to improve service to our clients. And by the way we look at this, our clients and customers are a lot of different people. They're each other in the staff. We consider each other customers and clients, but also our vendors. We want to make sure we're treating them right. Our owner clients, our tenant clients, and fellow agents that come to us, they're real important to us. So we want to make sure we're giving good service at any point. Well, we're facing a labor shortage. Mm-hmm. So we're looking at two multiple things when we came into this, and what we've done is outsourced a lot of the tedious or paperwork type things, and it can be done overnight. So we come in, we can turn paperwork and documentation, invoices a lot faster, and that's been able to one, help us on the part of not being able to find labor or quality labor. And then the other is just improving our systems, our speed, that we're being able to respond back to our clients. Mm-hmm. So the virtual assistants have been very helpful, and we're trying to expand that as much as possible and everywhere we can.
Yeah, and a lot of people think virtual assistants have this weird stigma that they barely speak English and they're in some foreign country that's, 12 hours difference. It's not that. Virtual assistants can be next door.
Yes.
They could be in another state. They could be in another city, but with the technology we have, the voice over IP phones, the emails, the software, they can do work from pretty much anywhere, just like you or I can. So you and I go on a vacation, for example, you're not really leaving the office. You're kind of working from a different location a lot of times. Right. We have our laptops, we have our mobile phones, same concept.
Well, I like the way you're explaining that because Dell Computers in our city. And at one point, I believe I read that 20 to 25% of their employees never were in that office.
Wow.
On my street alone, where I lived, I knew of four directors that did not have an office in that building. They worked out of their house.
Wow.
And going back to your point, that is a virtual assistant in many ways.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's really interesting. I never thought of that. So one of the things I did want to talk to you about, too, is the dynamic with your brother entering the business. So give me a little bit of story there, because that was somewhat interesting. And this happens to a lot of management company owners. Mm-hmm. It could happen to me. It could happen to anybody where a family member transitions with their life. It could be a son, daughter, or brother, sister, uncle, aunt. And now all of a sudden you have an obligation and a desire, mm-hmm. a strong desire to bring them in, because no one's going to care like family.
Right.
Correct?
Right.
So talk to me about that.
Well, I had a real unique situation. Being able to bring Jeff in, he's been a phenomenal asset to our company and for a lot of different reasons.
Well, got to explain who Jeff is first. Okay.
Jeff is my brother. He is a licensed chiropractor, and he ran a pretty large, was a very large and significant chiropractic firm or practice for many years. And he and his partner built that firm to, I think when they went into that city, there were 70, I don't know, there were a lot of different chiropractors in that place, in that city. And then when he left, they were the number one chiropractor there. They had expanded the practice to do rehab, to do therapy. They had had medical doctors on their payroll. Jeff knew how to run that organization.
Wow.
In addition to his, chiropractic practice. Mm-hmm. And then there were some changes in both of our lives. And a few years later, Jeff was doing something else, and I just had a feeling that I needed to bring someone in at that level to help me take our company to the next level. And it was the same time that the entire transition was going on at the company, right after we had completed the CRMC. So all of this has just happened in the last 4 or 5 years. But it has been phenomenal. One, you know, going back to the quality of who he is, and we, you know, we grew up in the same family, so we kind of trust each other.
Yeah.
And we were very blessed with our father, who had a business background. So we were brought up from, you know, 5 years old, understanding a little business concepts and the ethical part of working and working hard. But he's been a huge and tremendous asset, because in most of the areas that I'm not real strong in, he is very strong in.
Okay.
But also he can, when I'm not in the office, he understands the way our philosophy is. He understands the way our values, our core values are, not just for the business, but the way we run our lives. And so a lot of the questions are very easy for him, even though he had no property management experience coming in, either because of core values or because of business values. It's just happened to have a property management twist on it. So he's been a tremendous asset.
Great. So no weirdness going on there with the brother. I mean, a lot of people will want to know the real truth there, right?
The real truth is we see each other 5 days a week, and every other weekend we're at each other's house with the family doing family things, and we kind of enjoy each other. So
that's cool. That's very good.
I'm pretty proud of him.
Well, let's do this. Let's take a quick break.
Okay.
This episode of the Property Management Mastermind Show is sponsored by Mark Cunningham of Grace Property Management. Now, Mark has created some amazing products for property management companies. We have implemented his systems and his business income streams into our business here, and I can personally recommend them. If you are in the property management business, I encourage you to visit their website, as you will definitely find a product that will improve your business. I know Mark personally, and just a small investment to pick up one of his golden nuggets could earn you a return many times over. To learn more, go to propertymanagementsystem.org, again, propertymanagementsystem.org, and to get a 10% discount on all of Mark's products, use the promo code BRAD, B-R-A-D. All right, and we're back. Thanks for that quick break. So, Greg, what I want to transition to next is your involvement with NARPM. Now, everyone knows that this is a show about property management, and the National Association of Residential Property Managers is a big part of who we are and what we do. We've been members of NARPM for 5+ years. As soon as I heard about the organization, I joined. And you are part of the leadership now. So one of the things I wanted to ask you, and you explained to the audience, is the leadership path of how you got involved in the leadership, what's in it, what's involved. I mean, just kind of let's talk through that, and I'll ask you questions as we go.
Great. My ascent, for lack of a better word, was relatively easy. I had been a NARPM member, and I've been a NARPM member just now at 10 years, I believe. For the first 6 or 8 months, I attended chapter meetings. I believe we attended the Texas style or a regional at that time. And after that, an individual came up and just said, excuse me, he said, at our next meeting, would you sell raffle tickets? I think I can do that. Mm-hmm. So I started selling raffle tickets. And then I did that for the next 2 or 3 meetings. And then after that, I was... Someone asked and said, we're staffing a booth here in Austin. Can you come down for an hour and work the booth with us? So we did that, and it was fun. It was all fun to do. I love the organization. So anytime I could do something, but I didn't know where I was supposed to go. I didn't know what I was supposed to do. I was kind of new to this. So unless they asked, I didn't know what to do.
Mm-hmm. And we probably should back up a bit, because we need to tell everybody what you're doing now with NARPM.
I'm the Central Region Vice President.
Okay. That's a significant thing. You're in charge of the central region.
Yes.
And how many states does that encompass?
I believe it's either 15 or 17. We have 10 chapters. Mm-hmm. And basically, it's from the Rio Grande Valley in Texas to the Canadian border.
Wow. Big place to kind of. Yeah. And it's a volunteer organization, the leadership style.
Yes, a total volunteer organization.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Just kind of be clear on that.
Yeah.
So that's neat. So going back to how you started, did you have to, I mean, how does one get to be a regional vice president? I mean, there's got to be some, like, you have to do this, and then you have to do this, and then you have to do this, and then.
Yeah, to start promoting up in or going to the next level, you have to fulfill certain things. But mine was after I had volunteered for a couple of things or had been asked, I was put on a committee at my local NARPM chapter in Austin, and worked on that for 6 months. And then at one point was I asked if I'd serve in a leadership capacity on the local board, and I agreed to that. My problem was I didn't ask specifically what that position would be, and at the next meeting found out I was president-elect of the chapter. So shame on me for not asking more questions, but scared the heck out of me. There were some pretty impressive individuals in that chapter, and that's the oldest chapter in the state of Texas. So it had a history of you better know what you're doing. Was very blessed that I worked with a good board who taught me what to do and helped me. The next year I was president of the chapter, and then the following year as past president. So that was a wonderful, fulfilling experience that we could give back and serve the local membership, and then try to bring value at every meeting to the members that come there for a lunch, volunteer their time, and take time away from their business. Mm-hmm. To
describe kind of your role now. I mean, I know what the title means, but right. What does it entail?
I tease people when I go to chapters. I said I have the easiest job in NARPM. I do whatever the president says, and then I help any member in the region, especially the chapter leaders, answer questions or do whatever I need to do to help them in serving their local members. So it's a pretty easy task, and it's very rewarding, and it's a lot of fun, because it's the same reason I joined NARPM 10 years ago is the same reason I'm an RVP now, is I love this organization, and I love the people who are in it and their attitudes. They're phenomenal. But mm-hmm. So to be an RVP, you have to have at least received your RMP designation. You have to have served either as a national committee person or as a local chapter leader.
Okay.
And then you're eligible to be interviewed for that position.
And how long does it last when you do this?
It's 2-year term.
2-year term.
Generally speaking, yes, 2-year term.
And so at the end of this 2 years, what do you envision as the kind of the end state of where you're going with this? You hope you make some impact, and you hope to do good things? And
that's an interesting question, Brad, because someone was asking me about the end of my career also at the same time, and how I wanted to end some of that. And I was thinking about that question. It didn't bother me, but I was thinking about it. I thought it was such an interesting question. And it reminded me of you, and you don't even know I'm going to say this, but you are so innovated with staying up on top of everything that's going on. You're changing all the time. You're cutting edge. How am I going to end up either with NARPM or in my career? I don't know if that position or whatever that value I bring has even been invented yet. Hmm. Things are changing. We live in an Amazon world.
You're right.
Things are changing so fast.
Yeah.
And it's other than our personal friendship, is one of the things I value with having a relationship with you, is we're challenging each other on where things are going all the time. How do we improve? How do we get better? Because it is a changing world.
It seems like there's something new every time we go to a conference.
Oh, yeah.
Now, was it like that, 8-10 years ago?
10 years ago at my first conference in Scottsdale, you have to understand, I'm walking in and I have two properties.
Yeah.
I'm managing two properties. One of the first guys I met in the lunch line was extremely nice to me, extremely friendly, and he was managing 2,500. I couldn't comprehend managing 25 properties, much less 2,500. Yeah. So I was looking at it from a little different perspective at that time. But no, it's just recently, in my experience, and it's most likely the last 2 to 3 years, things have rapidly, rapidly started changing. And I think in our industry, it is exactly like other things. It's just the world right now we live in.
Yeah, the pace of technology is just super booming.
Yes.
It just seems like something new is coming out every day. For example, we were talking about, here's a good question. So there's an inventory and condition form in the state of Texas that we use for when a tenant moves in, and the tenant takes an antiquated form that's on paper and they fill it in with a stubby pencil, and they are allegedly supposed to fax it and or mail it to your office.
Right.
Right. All that's going to go digital.
Yes.
And it's here.
And it needs to.
And it's here. And, yes. and I think there's several vendors that are developing a app.
Yes.
And to where the tenant logs into their smartphone and they can make all their notes they want and take all the pictures they want. And that's going to be their new move-in inventory form, where it's going to go digital.
Yes.
And that's just one example of the pace of how things are changing. And because technology has now changed. I mean, obviously we have software, we have accounting, we have all that stuff that's been there for 5-6 years, at least maybe 10 or more. But now things that are, we're getting rounded out like that,
right,
are starting to come into the market a bit more. That's neat. I think that's neat.
And of course, I think it's great. And yeah. In our personal business last year, we had less than 20% of those inventory condition forms returned.
Oh, really? That's a neat stat.
Okay. It was very disappointing.
Wow.
It was, you know, because this does protect the tenant so much.
Yeah.
We could get fired or hit by a bus or anything. And we encouraged the tenant repeatedly to turn that back in. And our turn-in rate was less than 20%. I think if we would make this an easier form, more friendly for them to handle, like you're an example on the smart form, that rate would go way, way up. And I'd like to see that industry standard to protect more tenants.
That'll come out. Either the software companies will make that an additional feature, or somebody's going to really produce a great app for that. I think that's already here in certain places. Right. I don't have a solution where I would drop it on the air, but I know it's out there somewhere.
Right.
So that's kind of neat. So what I was going to talk to you more about on the NARPM side is kind of what are the benefits of being involved in the leadership side? Because a lot of folks look at it like, well, if I'm going to volunteer, I mean, what's kind of in it for me? I mean, there's probably very little compensation at all, maybe some housing or some travel or something, right?
Yeah, when we're on NARPM related business, there's an expense account for that, but it's pretty limited.
Yeah,
I know. When I was with Federal Express, they were much more generous.
No, I believe it, and I don't think you're doing it for the money or the expenses.
No,
but you're getting the experience out of it, and that's what a lot of folks are kind of, you know, they look at it like, well, I don't want to travel around and be an RVP. Well, someday you might. I mean, you get to a point where you're into the business and things are going solid, and either get bored. Right?
Right.
Or you want to do something more to give back.
Right.
Because NARPM's given a lot to you and I.
Oh, phenomenal.
You know, it's a big, great, awesome type of an organization. This is not a whole NARPM commercial, but you know, you got to explain to the folks that you're not necessarily doing it for X, Y, or a title, you know, building a resume type thing. You're doing it because you're giving back potentially.
I'll tell you my motivation. I belong to a church. We've always belonged to a church. My wife and I have been married 39 years, raised 3 daughters. And for my daughters to get up Sunday morning, 3 of them, it was an option. It was not an option that they went to church. They already knew what to do. They already knew what was expected. When I found NARPM, and I give the analogies a lot, or the example a lot, maybe a parallel is a better word, I tie NARPM into my church a lot. I always get back more than I give, but I firmly believe you have to be involved in your church. I firmly believe you have to be involved in NARPM. And these are two things we just give to. Do you get something back? Always. Mm-hmm. But that's not your motivation for going in.
Yeah.
And it's been, so all of my staff members are NARPM members. When we can, and we underwrite this as a company because we put our money where our mouth is. We love this organization. We see the value in this organization, so we want to support it. And it's not just Jeff or myself being a part of this. We are committed to this organization, just as our family is committed to a church. So there's a parallel there of what we believe that we put our money where our mouth is.
I like it. Is there any inside baseball going on that you can share with us as far as good things coming up? We got the NARPM National Conference in October. Of course, we got the Broker Owner Conference in the spring. I think it might be April.
Yeah. Both of this will be out pretty soon, or it's even common knowledge right now. But both the convention and the broker owners are getting ready to go through some dramatic changes.
Okay.
I think it's going to be very positive. You know, as you were saying, 10 years ago, how was the organization compared to now? There's been growth and evolution. We're getting ready to start seeing a very specific and high level of speaker come in, not necessarily industry related all the time. It's more business related or technology related that affects our day-to-day business on how we can serve our clients. And NARPM has always been about members teaching members, but we've realized that, yes, while that continues to be a foundation of this industry, that we need to go outside. And there's some industry or even outside of the industry, really smart folks out there that can come in and give us some knowledge and help us become more professional to serve our clients.
Yeah. you were telling me you're going to get Tony Robbins. Is that right? Robert Kiyosaki? He's joking. I'm pulling his leg at this point. But that, those are some of the cool things that we hope to see coming up is expansion on the conferences. And yes. I think they do a great job anyway. There's no ifs, ands, or buts on that. You just got to be there and take advantage of what's there to make it worth your while. I love the vendors. I love going and seeing the vendors. I would even skip classes. I'm not recommending this, you know, but I would say I'd even skip some of the speeches just to get the FaceTime with the vendors, because that's just, I don't know. You can't replace that, because they will show you the ways of the world better than anything else. You can sit down with a vendor and say, okay, how does this work? And they will walk you through it in person and you get a real good grasp of it. Then you just have to implement it into your business.
Right, right. If I can expand on that for a second, eight out of the 10 vendors, maybe 9 out of the 10 vendors that we use and affiliates on a regular basis that have helped build our business and to help allow us to provide the best customer service that we've been able to do have all come from the NARFM trade show. Hmm. It's flat out.
You know? Yeah.
So
they're typically some of the best vendors in the industry or even outside the industry, still playing in the space.
I haven't found any better.
Yeah. Same here. I think I love that part of the conferences. Yes, that's a big fart for me.
Yeah.
So that's really neat. So I wanted to kind of close this up a little bit with you and see if you had any last minute comments about NARFM, any of the conferences coming up, anything going on, any like aha moments that are just burning in your head.
Aha moments are, this industry is getting ready to change, and we're starting to see it. We're going to start seeing a lot more consolidation. The industry is going to change, and I'm excited about that. Mm-hmm. I think some people have a little trepidation about it, but you know, as things change, I look at it, it creates more opportunity.
Yeah,
it's not a fearful thing. It's going to be exciting, and I think everyone's going to benefit from it. But you have to be aware of what's coming. When I was raising the little girls, I would tell them that, you know, God gives you common sense. If you're standing on a railroad track and you hear a siren or the horn and you see a light, stand off of it. Just stand off, but don't be afraid of it. And it's the same thing with the consolidation coming. And I think there will be a lot more of this, big players coming into this field, that there's always a niche. There's mm-hmm. always a room. You just have to maybe take a step back from what you're doing, reevaluate, adjust, course correct, and go on from there. And you'll be successful.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there's always going to be need for this type of an industry market. Oh, yeah. It's a service.
Yes.
And that's what people sometimes forget. It's not a commodity. We're not oil and gas. It's a service. And every market has a specific need for that service because every market is different.
Yep.
You know, we see differences just in our markets, and we're 100 miles apart, 90 miles apart.
That's right.
So, Greg, I wanted to, again, say thank you for coming on the show. This has been a great episode. Got a lot of insight into the NARFM community as far as the leadership, what the CRMC is going to entail. And I'm excited to get that going. So I appreciate you coming on the show.
Well, thank you, Brad. It was my pleasure.
All right. Thanks, everyone. Take care. Today's show has been sponsored by Virtually Incredible, providing tenant screening services, call center services, and video production services to property managers. You may also visit them at virtuallyincredible.com.
This has been a podcast episode by PropertyManagementProductions.com. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast, leave us feedback, and come back for our next episode.